Good morning, I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry this morning and alongside Celeste Headlee, of course. Well, here's a shocking story this morning from in our own neighborhood in Central America. The American legacy of the Tuskegee experiments becoming even more haunting, Celeste. The United States government has publicly acknowledged and apologized for medical experiments in which American public health doctors deliberately infected hundreds of Guatemalans with syphilis and gonorrhea. Now, these experiments took place between 1946 and 1948. We're joined now by Susan Reverby. She's a medical historian and professor at Wellesley College. She uncovered the details of these shocking experiments in Guatemala. Reverby is also the author of the book Examining Tuskegee, the Infamous Syphilis Study and Its Legacy. And we're also joined by Art Kaplan, bioethics professor at the University of Pennsylvania and frequent takeaway guest. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Susan Reverby, let me start with you. Describe briefly, if you would, this two-year experiment in Guatemala, and who were the victims?
The study was done right after World War II, when it wasn't clear yet what penicillin could do to help cure syphilis. They needed a pool of infection in order to study whether or not penicillin could help people before the infection got established. So they went to Guatemala and worked with Guatemalan physicians in the central penitentiary, in army barracks, and in an insane asylum. It first used prostitutes to make the men be infected. When they couldn't establish enough infection, they then moved on to actually giving people both syphilis and gonorrhea.
And just to be clear, this is different from Tuskegee because in Tuskegee, scientists observed people who were already sick and denied them treatment and denied them information. In this case, they actively gave people disease. Do I have it right?
Absolutely. In Tuskegee, nobody was given syphilis by the government. But the real difference here is there was at least an attempt, although it didn't always succeed, to treat everybody in Guatemala. In the United States, in the Tuskegee study, the government actively tried to keep people from getting treated.
And Susan Reverby, you kind of stumbled upon this evidence. I mean, it wasn't exactly hidden. It was kind of hiding in plain sight. Describe to me how you discovered this horrific that these horrific experiments were going on.
I was doing what historians do, which is go to archives and read dead people's mail. And I was reading the papers of Thomas Perrin, the Surgeon General, and John Cutler, who had worked on Tuskegee in the 60s, had also taught at the University of Pittsburgh and left papers. I opened the boxes expecting to find something about Tuskegee, and the only thing in the boxes were, you know, hundreds of pages of reports about what had gone on in Guatemala.
Hundreds of pages. Dr. Art Kaplan, University of Pennsylvania, listen for a moment to P.J. Crowley, State Department spokesman, because this has certainly turned into an international incident. It makes us wonder how many similar experiments may have gone on between 1948 and now, and how many might be going on now. Listen to P.J. Crowley.
We've done some preliminary analysis to determine the scope of this research, and we don't believe that there are any instances along the lines of what did occur.
All right, Art Kaplan, kind of a halting, diplomatically gauged statement from State Department spokesman there. How do we know that more experiments like this haven't gone on or aren't going on now? Can we know?
Well, Todd, we've made some progress since the Guatemala events and the Tuskegee events. We've certainly set up a tighter system to regulate human subjects research in the U.S. Everyone has the basic protection supposedly guaranteed to them of informed consent, knowing exactly whether they're going to be an experiment, what their alternatives are. And these experiments are supposed to be reviewed by an independent committee known as an institutional review board, and you're supposed to know about the conflicts of interest that the investigator might have. The question really is whether that apparatus, which I think would prevent a Guatemala-style thing in the U.S., is really transferable to poor nations and poor people. It's difficult sometimes for a person who's desperately poor, never seen anybody in a white coat before, who shows up and says, I want to do some research, to really understand, I think, sometimes what's going on.
So, and that's the question, Art Kaplan, is that, yes, we can maybe take comfort in the fact that this happened in the 1940s, but at the same time, we can't really know what's going on in maybe some of the secret prisons that we have in other countries, or in other countries we don't really know for sure.
Well, what we do know is during the Cold War, we certainly did experiments with soldiers and other people, vulnerable people in institutions, to study radiation, to study the effects of the atomic bomb. We've been driven by war and concerns about war to abuse human subjects, and I think that is a constant and ever-present danger. Military research is just an area where people have gone to extremes, and I suspect continue to do so. And in poor nations, again, what kind of supervision is there from local committees or with the problems of literacy in poor countries? I'm nervous, not that we're doing Guatemala-style research, but that we still may be taking advantage of or exploiting the poor to study medicine, to study advances that really benefit us and not them.
That's Art Kaplan. He's a bioethics professor at the University of Pennsylvania. Susan Reverby, again, you're the historian, the medical historian, who stumbled upon the evidence of these experiments. When you look back in medical history, you know, it makes me think the most egregious example, modern example, of ethical transgressions in medicine were the Nazis in World War II, and we fought against that as tyranny. And these experiments happened just after that. It makes me wonder if we had learned nothing fighting that war. What occurred to you when you just stumbled upon these papers?
Well, remember, this is coterminous with the revelations of the what went on in the Nuremberg trials. And one of the problems is if you think about the Nazis as only barbarians, and you think about us as always being the good guys, you have a real problem. And if you keep thinking about this as only a war on disease, then you imagine that there are soldiers who have to die. And I think the problem was in seeing these subjects is part of a war on a disease that they didn't get a vote in.
And well, it might sully the legacy of the United States and the question of who the good guys were and who the bad guys were. And I don't mean that we were necessarily the bad guys in the war, but maybe we didn't stand up for everything that we fought for. Susan Reverby, medical historian at Wellesley College and author of Examining Tuskegee, the Infamous Syphilis Study and Its Legacy, discoverer of evidence of human subjects research in Guatemala in which American researchers gave syphilis and gonorrhea to Guatemalan citizens in 1946 to 1948. Also joined by Art Kaplan, PhD, bioethics professor at the University of Pennsylvania. Thank you both for joining us.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.